Of work, chodanam, the impetus, karanam, the senses, karma, the work, karta, the doer, iti, thus, trividaham, of three kinds, karma, of work, sangraha, accumulation. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Knowledge, the object of knowledge, and the knower are the three factors that motivate action. The senses, the work, and the doer are the three constituents of action. There are three kinds of impetus for daily work: knowledge, the object of knowledge, and the knower. The instruments of work, the work itself, and the worker are called the constituents of work. Any work done by any human being has three elements. Before one acts, there is some impetus, which is called inspiration, and solution arrived at before work is actualized in a subtle form of work. Then work takes the form of action. First, one has to undergo the psychological process of thinking, feeling, and willing, and that is called impetus. The inspiration of work is the same if it comes from the scripture or from the instruction of the spiritual master. When the inspiration is there and the worker is there, then actual activity takes place by the help of the senses, including the mind, which is the center of all the senses. The sum total of all the constituents of an activity are called the accumulation of work. Om Gyana Tirandasya Vinanjana Shalakaya Chakshara Militam Nantasmai Shri Yuvi Namah Maha Vishnu Pada Hare Krishna Prashtar Vutare Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanami Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshitarini Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam Bhakta Vatara Bhakta Kyam Nami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Om Tat Sat. Harihi Om Tat Sat means I offer this to Lord Krishna. Jnanam Geyam Parijnata Trividha Karma Chodana Karmanam Karma Karteti Trividha Karma Sangraha. Knowledge, the object of knowledge, and the knower are the three factors that motivate action. The senses, the work, and the doer are the three constituents of action. Okay, let's look at the first three words of the Sanskrit verse. Jnanam, Geyam, and Parijnata. Jnana means knowledge. Geyam, the objective of knowledge. What is that, what we are learning? And Parijnata, the knower, the one who knows. Who is the learning? Who is learning? Parijnata means the one who is learning. We see this, huh? Jnanam is actual knowledge, that process of learning. Geyam is that what we are learning about. And Parijnata is the one, the personality who is learning. That is another approach we can take when we look at these three words. So this is very important. When we are thinking of advancing in Krishna consciousness. So, who is the knower when we try to advance in spiritual life? That is the soul, that is us, living being. Who is the objective of knowledge? Who is the who is that we are learning about? It's Krishna, yes. And Jnanam, in what way we are learning? What type of knowledge? Where do we learn from? Or how the knowledge that we use is called. Yes, it's in relation to Krishna. It's from scripture, about Krishna. Or Prabhupada mentions scripture and spiritual master, they both give inspiration. So knowledge is received from those two mediums. So knowledge about Krishna, learning. Yes, this is one thing. It's significant because knowledge, the object of knowledge and the knower, they motivate according to what the knowledge is, what the object of knowledge is, and who the person who is learning is. When we define these three, then we know what kind of activity the person will perform. Because this, when we define these three, then we know what the person is up to. If the object of knowledge is a car magazine which has a lot of cars inside, or some, how you call this, where people sell things, then you're learning from where there's like when you have all kinds of things and people sell, right? How you call that type of magazine? Anyway, people. When if you want to if you're studying, you see someone studying a magazine which it's full of cars and there's a little thing there, it's a price on, and it's all statistics, then most probably. This is one sign that the person is planning to buy a car. So he's learning about cars, and he's learning from a particular medium, which is the magazine, about cars. So most probably, the person is interested. And if we look at the person, then we see, he has a particular amount of money saved. So then we know, this person is qualified to buy a car. He's looking for a car. He has a good source of knowledge. And he's studying what kind of car would buy. Pretty sure that this person will buy the car. If you see someone study scripture, Bhagavad Gita, and the person is doing service for Krishna, and is interested in knowing more about Krishna, is asking questions. And then we look at the person. The person is sincere and is carrying a bead bag. And then we know that this person wants to go to Krishna. So these things are important. What can be the knowledge? There in Bhagavad Gita, there are many sections which discuss who is what is the knowable, that which should be known. It can be, there's different things that can be the objects of learning, also for spiritualists. Within the, if you look of the term spiritualism from the broader sense, then sometimes some spiritualists are interested in studying the elements of the world, like they're studying cosmos, cosmology in a Vedic sense. They study field of activity. We had one term in Bhagavad Gita. What is the field of activity? Senses, mind, knowledge acquiring senses. Then you have working senses, knowledge acquiring senses, working senses. Then you have elements, five gross elements. Then you have subtle elements, false ego. We can study all about how these elements all like 26, something like that. Some people say 27, 26, 24, 20, something like that. Many elements. So we can study all about how they work, three modes of material nature, how they work. But is that the ultimate object of our knowledge? It might be useful to know these things, but if it's not connected to the actual knowable, that what is to be known, then it doesn't make really, you cannot find, it's not real benefit out of it. But if you connect, if you study this in connection to the actual knowable, which is Krishna and his energies, then you can understand how this is related to Krishna in this way. So then the details about how different elements are connected, there's also objects of the senses and like that. So how these things work, then if you exclude Krishna, then our knowledge is never going to be perfect. Because Krishna is the knowable, the one who is to be known. There is another knowable though. It's not only Krishna. It's also the jiva, the soul. This is all described in previous chapters. Last few months we've been through all Gita. We looked at all this in detail. Jiva. Because when we talk about the field of activity is the combination of material elements. Like I mentioned, senses, objects of the senses, working senses, knowledge acquiring senses, and so on, elements. And they are material elements. But the soul is not a material element. So also the soul is, when we were discussing that, then that's material. But Krishna and the soul, the jiva, they are not material. So also jiva is knowable, is gyaya. So both Paramatma and Atma both are to be the knowable, the goal of knowledge, that what we are learning about. This is opinion of Bhagavad Gita. So who is the one who actually knows the body of activity? The field of activity. The field of activity is known by two persons. One is jiva again. Jiva knows the field of activity in the sense that because the jiva is present within the body, therefore the body and everything around the body can function. In this way, the jiva is the knower of the field of activity. And the Paramatma, he is the knower of everything. All the fields of activity and whatever is beyond that. So he's aware of everything. There's a slide, like the one important thing here is that Jiva and Paramatma and Atma, they both know our field of activity, but the only small difference is that Paramatma is one and knows all the fields of activity, whereas Atma, our soul, knows only one field of activity. So, what is the knowledge? What is the object of our knowledge? These are all three connected. And the knower, who is interested to learn something. And when we define the position of these three, then we know that these three are inspiration. Basically, in everyone, in it's a very practical point, actually, because everyone acts according to this. This is the inspiration. Like in the purport, Prabhupada mentions that first mental process must happen before the activity is done. So the mental process is based on this, what we are learning about, you know, what is the how we're learning, and our own, from our own interest. Right? We become influenced by, like, contemplation. We see something that we never see before, and in the we go shopping and we see something we never saw before, and then we start to contemplate that object in the window, and we want to have that, but we never saw that particular item before. So first we need to perceive, then we contemplate, and then we desire. We see, contemplate, and then we start to desire. Or we hear about something. Oh, they have in this store they have this and this. You hear about it, and then you think about it. That would be a nice thing to have. So contemplation, and then desire. Desire is more intense form of contemplation. So then let me go. If this doesn't come, you will never go to the store. If there will be no thinking, and the thinking will come to the level of desire, I need this, then you will never get up, go to the car, or order it, or whatever. Nowadays you have everything on the tip of your fingers if you have money. So, like that. The thinking process, thinking, feeling, willing. You think about things, you feel connected. Yeah, I want. And then desire. Yeah, willing. I'm willing to do something about achieving this goal. And then you do. Like that. Here we are viewing one kind of detail. This verse is giving some detail on the activity. What happens? How does activity happen? Why does one act? And how? And the next part of the verse. Let me see the Sanskrit. The impetus, the senses. Doer, karta, the doer, iti, the strividha of three kinds, karma, works, and the accumulation. Okay, the second part of the verse is the senses, the work, and the doer are the three constituents of action. So senses, I mentioned before, they are needed in order to perform activity. And then some objective, like some work. You know, if you have a sense, if you have your hands, and you have nothing to take to your hands, if you don't have something that you put from point A to point B, then work cannot be done. So there must be, like, the senses, the work, there must be some space available to use the senses. That would be the work. And the doer are the three constituents of action. The doer is an interesting debate. Who is the doer? When something happens, one does something. So who was the person who performed this activity? What was there present? What was needed how to say, the doer is the person who performs the activity, more exactly. It's not the reason that the activity is performed, but that personality, that force or energy, setting like purposefully mentioning like the setting, things like that, because to explain this point, that what is actually performing the work. Because whoever like is a little bit thoughtful and read some scriptures, then you can see that there must be different things available in order to that thing happen. Something happened, there must be, I don't know, something happened. And there must be the reason, like the person who is standing behind that. There's a question. Is the doer jiva? In order for the body to move, is it that to move the body, I'm thinking how to explain this. Okay, so who is the doer? who could be the doer is three modes of material nature, past activities of the person, jiva, one's own work, and so on. So when a person ignorant about spiritual life is working in the factory, is saying, I am performing this work. But are we satisfied with this? Would person be able to perform the work if there would be no jiva inside of his body? Or who is the supreme permitter? Is Krishna. So I think there's one verse here. Okay, so generally that ignorant person would think, because of me, I can work. I can perform this job in a factory because I am powerful. I am strong, I am powerful. Therefore I have energy. This is my energy with which I can perform the work. But the Krishna in 14th text, this is fourth text earlier, says that something different. The place of action, which means the body, the performer, the various senses, the many different kinds of endeavor, and ultimately super soul, these are the five factors of action. So in order for the action to be performed, there need to be embodied, living entity, then the performer, the body, the performer means person has to be there, personality. Jiva, that would probably refer to jiva. Yes, exactly, the performer, the doer. Krita, let me see. The worker. Yeah, exactly. The performer, the worker, is called Krita. Prabhupada explains this in the purport. The performer means the soul, without which the body would not be able to perform activity or even exist. Then the various senses, the many different kinds of endeavor. This means like the willing, endeavor means like I'm willing to do something, whatever the motivation is, whatever the inspiration is, the willpower. And ultimately the super soul. These are the five factors of action. So the doer, karta, Kartha, or the worker. Let me see if it's the same word. Karteti, obviously the same word, yeah. Karteti. Karta, yeah, the same word. The doer. Yes. So in 14th and 18th word, we have the same word in Sanskrit. That's karta, means the doer. In text 14, it means the soul. In text 18, I wouldn't know. Most probably also. It's possible that it's the same explanation, and it's possible that it's different. The senses, the work, and the doer are the three constituents of action. Yeah, the doer, I guess, would also mean person. Has to be person. Because the same point is discussed, basically. The senses, the work, and the doer are the three constituents of action. And in 14th, it says these are the five factors of action. Like that. So basically the same point Krishna is repeating, but he misses two here. Because he already explained in 14th verse, he won't go. He's just reminding Arjuna that you are not the, you are whatever you desire, it doesn't mean that it's going to happen. Because there's five different things that make the activity happen, and only if they're in tune, then something will happen. If you take one of these five out, then the activity is not going to be performed. If the soul is not within the body, this means the body is not living. This means that activity cannot be performed by the body. If the soul, yeah, so these two first two, the various senses, if one cannot use one's senses, if there is no senses, then again activity cannot be performed. This is connected senses and the body. This is like basically the same thing, very close. Though the senses, the body refers to, is broadly, it's more elements involved, included than the senses. Because there's only two sets of senses. There's knowledge acquiring and working senses. And the body would mean also the other, you know. Without the body, senses cannot exist. You know, and you cannot imagine body without senses. So basically, they're very connected, although they're different set of elements mentioned here. The many different kinds of endeavor. If the willing power is not there, I wish to perform something, or that the ability to activity. If one is very sick, one cannot perform activities. So even due to great, like even great endeavor can be given and it's not possible because it's the endeavor is blocked. So if there is no willing power, and ultimately the super soul, he's the permitter. If he does not allow, then activity will not be performed. So this is I wouldn't say the most important, but it's kind of important, because then we understand that these five things that are mentioned in 14th verse, and also the same point is in today's verse, then we understand that it doesn't depend everything on us. We are basically not the only doer. We can see this practically, because happiness and distress, they come uninvited. Why? If we are the only doer, if our whatever we desire, everything happens now, then it's not possible. Sometimes we desire things for a long, long time and we don't get them, because these things are not in tune. If the super soul gives permission, and according to karma and so on, then you know it is possible that the desire will be fulfilled. For example, if a child desires to have a real car and drive, then will that type of desire be in tune with the system? No, it's not going to be, because the baby cannot even walk, what to speak of driving a car. So well, we can also say cannot desire having a car and drive it. I'm just giving an example. If desires, if the willing power, if the endeavors are not in tune with our past activities and our present psychophysical situation and permission of the Supreme Lord, it's not going to happen. So this is material world. Things do not happen according to our expectation. We are not the controllers here. Although that is basically the idea. That's what everyone is hoping to be, the controller. However, we cannot control in this world. And Krishna is saying this to Arjuna: you are not the controller here. Whatever I say, you will be forced to act. You will be forced to fight. Because if you are not going to fight, they will catch you and they will challenge you. So you'll have to defend yourself. So this means defending means fighting. So basically, he told, again, in another way, to Arjuna. Krishna told in another way to Arjuna that there is many factors that are needed in order for the activity to be performed. Because Arjuna said, he felt it's everything like for our benefit. He was acting as if it's everything on him. If he will quit fighting, then all the problems will be solved. But Krishna said, they're not going to be solved. You know what I mean? The problems will not going to be solved. Because it's not only your immediate decision. It doesn't depend only on your immediate decision. What will be the future of all these people gathered in a battlefield, and all those who are connected with them, who are at home now? You know, it's, you cannot just by one instant decision. Arjuna wouldn't influence so much that the battle would not continue. And because it was Krishna's plan, he had a particular agenda there. He had a plan that he will protect the rest of the world against all those powerful warriors who were gathered on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, because they were dangerous for the world. Therefore, Krishna, with his great plan, he managed to get everyone on one place and finish them in order to protect everyone else. So Krishna can do these things. He is the controller. And he set up everything in motion like a perfect being, because he's perfect being. He's the only one who can do whatever he likes at any time, at any place. For everyone else who is in the material world, it is complicated. For Jiva, life in the material world is not natural. It's not. We are not at home. Jiva is Satchit Ananda. Spiritual world is Satchit Ananda. Krishna is Satchit Ananda. Material world is Achit Asat Nirananda. So where does Jiva fit in this Achit Asat Nirananda world? Just the opposite. No. That's why these discussions come up. He says, look, conditioned living entity, things that is most powerful and it is creating its own future and is controller. But the system here is complicated. You're not a controller. You may have an impression, I am performing this activity, I'm doing this. But in fact, there's so many things that you have to have in order to perform some work, some activity, or in order to go towards the particular direction that you desire to go. So the goal is Krishna, knowledge about Krishna. There's process how to learn. You hear from spiritual master, read scripture, associate with devotees. In this way you get knowledge about Krishna, perform other activities of devotional service to purify the heart in order to understand the knowledge about Krishna, to understand Krishna better. For us, scripture and Krishna himself are not different. So if you learn from scripture, about scripture, then you're learning about Krishna. Anyone has any comments or questions? I know it's kind of analytical, hard discussion here, but this is what is Gita about. This is one of the themes of Gita. I'm pretty sure my answer wasn't complete. So.
Well, it's very nice to see the 14th group probably also just the same thing.
Yeah? I didn't read. I didn't have time to read the 14th verse. I just remembered that it's also in 14th verse.
Right. But in the group is also doing the same thing in this program.
Oh. Okay. Thank you. That's it? Well, you imagine to perform. Okay, for transcendental activity, then you don't need that. Because in spiritual world, there's also activity, but that's people who have transcendental bodies, not material bodies. This goes for people who have material bodies, who are embodied. That's why I said that this is another explanation of in what way is another argument against being the controller. Because in material world everyone thinks I'm the doer, I'm controller. So this is argument against that. But in spiritual world you don't need such arguments because there is no material conception there. There is no material influence there. Neither there is no body. Material body, temporary body is eternal body. So, you know, the activity there is on another level. So this discussion wouldn't fit up into spiritual world. We can only discuss here for conditioned living entities. In spiritual world, every desire happens, every desire is fulfilled immediately. More you desire Krishna, more you get, more you feel Krishna, more Krishna is there. More you desire to have his association, to see him, more closer to you he is. So, because there are the only objective is Krishna, so everything is connected to Krishna, the spiritual platform. So there is no question about thinking that I am the doer. You know, there is no such conception there. So this is argument against Aham Ishwara, Aham Bogi, Sidoham, Balavan Sukhi. You know, I am Ishwara. I am supreme. I am superior. I am in charge here. Aham Ishwara, Aham Bogi. I am the enjoyer. I am supposed to. Just before we were discussing that great devotees, they give up their own comfort for the benefit of others, to give them Krishna consciousness. So they realize that to increase their own comfort, you know, that is not important. It's important to increase other people's Krishna consciousness. So they risk their own comfort for benefiting, in order to benefit others. Of course, to travel from one place to another, so like that. Where were we? I'm Balavan Sukhi. I am the most happy person. The way I live life, that is the way everyone should live life, because I am so happy like that. People intoxicated by false pride, they think, I am very, very happy. Yeah. But on the other side, it's like they want more and more sense gratification, never satisfied. So this is the bewildered condition of those who think, I am the only doer. Yes, peace. 13. Aha, 13:8-12, right. Okay. Oh, that's in 14th purport. Prabhupada is explaining then that knowledge. Okay. Yes. Yeah, the same thing I mentioned. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I mentioned that. Yeah, yeah. Thank you for your contribution. Yeah. Oh. You're referring to 18th verse? No, today's verse. You mean today's verse? Why would he say this verse? I have to ask Krishna. Okay.
So what's the use of this knowledge? What do I, if I know this, then what will it give me?
Well, if you know that you're not the only doer, that can help you. If you know that you are dependent on your previous activities that you've forgotten about. About what? Oh no, but he's speaking elsewhere in Gita. So what is the actual question here? Yeah. It doesn't need to be difficult. Krishna's words are sometimes very simple. So simple that you can't even understand. But now you understand, you think it should be something difficult. I don't know. Maybe we should study the context of the statement. Yeah, 15th verse. It seems it's a little bit out of context here, because previous verse is whatever right or wrong action a man performs by body, mind, or speech is caused by these five factors. It's five factors which we heard about from 14th verse. 16, oh no, I'm looking too much away. 18th verse. One is not motivated by false ego. His intelligence is not entangled. Though he kills man in this world, does not kill, nor is he bound by his actions. If you want to know the, then it's good to look at the context. Look, the answer is in 16. Therefore, one who thinks himself the only doer, not considering the five factors, is certainly not very intelligent and cannot see things as they are. Oh yeah, that's not so related, but to your question. In a sense it is, maybe. One who is not motivated by false ego, his intelligence is not entangled. So So the theme is here that you get disentangled in material ignorance. If you're aware that your knowledge and the object of knowledge, and if you're aware of your position as the one who is supposed to, who is like learning, the knower. You are the knower, no? Right? So what's your position? And then the knowledge, what's your knowledge, what do you are aware of? And what is the object of your knowledge? If you identify this, then you know your condition. You're interested in these different, not you, but like generally. Like, you know, if you know, aha, I am pure devotee, I am realized of Krishna, I am the soul, I am spirit soul, and my knowledge is, I only know about Krishna, and I only learn about Krishna, then again, you know, right, what is your future all about? So you can see, based on these three, you can see where you're at, and what should be changed. Maybe you should, give up college, stop computer engineering and go to study scripture, right? Because you want Krishna, you don't want, some mundane thing, you know? Right.
And why do you think Prabhupada mentions that inspiration word is the same if it comes from scripture or from the instructor from the spiritual master?
Because spiritual master is representative of Krishna and scripture. No, because spiritual master, he can actually relate to scripture. You see, sometimes when we are not experienced. Because that's how we get knowledge. You think there's any other way? You think there's any other way to learn about Krishna than from hearing about Krishna from scripture? Spiritual master, he relates with the scripture and he actually knows the context of each statement within the scripture about Krishna. So that's very powerful for teaching other people about Krishna. And if you associate with Prabhupada's books, then you are raised by Prabhupada's books. If your reading of Prabhupada's books is part of your sadhana, then you will be more and more advanced in Krishna consciousness. You will not just that you will have more information, but you will develop. You know, our books have. There is one interesting word I've learned in academics is soteriology. Soteriology is knowledge about liberation, salvation, liberation. And our scriptures and spiritual master, they have soteriological meaning for us. They bring us towards liberation, whatever our liberation is, they bring us towards that liberation. So if you're involved in studying shastras and serving spiritual master and hearing from him about knowledge, then that has I just love this word, soteriological meaning. This means that this purifies you and gets you to another level, spiritual level. They're mentioned together because they're bounded together, they're connected. Did you ever heard that? When I joined temple, they told me that your mother is now scripture and your father is a spiritual master. So they go together, right? They tell you about Krishna. That's the point. Yeah. Inspiration here. Inspiration, wait. He says inspiration. Impetus, yeah. Impetus. Inspiration. That comes just before. That's when you decide. That's just before the decision that you will make something. Arjuna wasn't inspired yet to fight. But then Krishna inspired him. He proved to him that that's the proper activity to do. So Arjuna was inspired, and right after that, he was firm, he was like 100% sure that he's going to fight. So that goes together. Being inspired, yeah. I mean, it's like kind of practical point here, right? If you're inspired, then you'll do something, whatever. Motivated, let's say. Motivated is also related. If you're motivated by something, then your motive might be your inspiration. That's a big point, actually, because Arjuna's inspiration wasn't ever anything else but Krishna. Because Krishna gave him the inspiration. From Krishna he got the inspiration to perform activity. Therefore, his activities were absorbed in Krishna. He was fixed on Krishna. Because many other warriors that were there, they were not inspired by Krishna. They were inspired by greed, selfish motivations. The selfish motivations were there. But Arjuna wasn't like that. He fought because he got inspiration for Krishna. He decided, yeah, this is the right thing to do. And I'm doing it for Krishna. So Krishna was in the center. Krishna was the source of his inspiration. There was no other motive than to please Krishna. And he really felt it. Okay, thank you. Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Oh, sorry. Chant. Kirtan. Yeah, sure. Immediately, without saying goodbye. Okay, we chant. It's part of becoming part of the class now. Which tune should I chant?